Greetings to each one. Good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the day of the week that we have set aside to come into your house, to look to you. Pray that your blessing would be upon this part of the service. May my mouth be a mouthpiece that you can speak through. Just pray that your presence could be felt here as we proceed with the service. Speak to us that which you would have us to hear. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for a message this morning, I am going to share a message that was, I got an inspiration when someone else was preaching a message. A verse kind of stuck out to me. I said, there's something in there. What does it mean? What is it saying? Let's turn to Revelation. Revelation 1. Revelation 1, we're going to read verses 5 and 6. That don't look very good to break in there. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God our Father, God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So maybe I should ask, was there a phrase in there that stuck out to you? In verse 6. He made us a kingdom. Made us kings and priests. Now it's interesting you say that. King James here says kings and priests. Most other versions say made us a kingdom and priests unto God. So that kind of changes the look or what you think about. One of the things I wondered was, okay, is this something that is present tense or something in the future? Are we going to be reigning someday as kings? Let's turn over to chapter 5 and verse 10 in Revelation. Verse 9, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now there it does say that we shall reign. I guess that's not the direction I'm going this morning. I'm not here to explain that. I don't claim to understand all that. There may be a time that we do reign as kings on the earth. I'm going to leave that and come back to the thought of a kingdom of priests. That would be the title this morning. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, Exodus 19. And beginning in verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. There we have God telling Israel, if you obey, now there's conditions, if you obey, if you listen to me, if you keep that covenant, you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Pondering this, I was thinking, it must be that God has a special place for those that obey and keep his covenant. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, unto me. And I was thinking about, were they actually all priests, or were they all going to be priests? Or was this a picture of what they were to be? And I believe it even says it that way in Revelation. Unto. I missed a little part there in the Revelation. I'd like to ask the question, and hath made us kings and priests. Who made us kings and priests? Unto God. It was Jesus, I believe, that made us kings and priests. Because we turned our hearts to him, he says, you're mine, I love you, I care for you, and you're going to be kings and kingly, a royal priesthood. Were we all put into the priesthood, or were we made as kings and priests? Same in Exodus. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which I shall speak unto the children of Israel. I was just thinking about the children of Israel were set apart from the rest of the people. Even as the tribe of Levi, the family of Aaron, were set apart from the rest of the children of Israel, in the same way the children of Israel were set apart from the rest of the world. You get the picture that I'm trying to get? And in that way, they were set apart as a special people. They were special. As long as they kept the covenant and obeyed, they were special. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26, verse 16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God. And we get that? You have claimed God as to be the Lord, to be your God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people. We chose him, he chose us. You get that? The Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, and he hath promised thee that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. You are set apart as a special people. You chose, we chose him, he chose us. That makes a bond that is special. Next passage, let's turn to Isaiah 61. As I saw something in this passage, it's a familiar passage. I guess where we're going with the message is, even as Israel was that special people, so the church is God's special people. And the picture of the church in the Old Testament was Jerusalem or Zion. Zion is another name for Jerusalem. And in this passage, let's notice in verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Now, let's keep that in mind. He's speaking to those that were in Zion. Now, I'd like to read the chapter. I was in my studies. I got excited when I started realizing that he's speaking to his people. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Is that exciting when you read something like that? It's exciting. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. There you have it. Ye shall be named priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Picture us, the church, turning our hearts to God, God turning his heart to us, and from that goes forth a testimony. Not of us, but of him, of course. A kingdom of priests. What? Why were priests needed? Why was there priests? What was a priest? Maybe there's a quick answer. Priest was a go-between between man and God. He represented God to man, and he represented man to God, both ways. That's what the priest did. Why did there need to be a priest? Why did there need to be a priest? Because... What was that?
The high priest wasn't given then
yet. High priest wasn't given.
Sin
so,
separates. Sin separates.
Sin separates. Now we're... Yeah. It's because of the fall, right? Because of the fall, because... Picture Adam. Adam in the garden before the fall. He had a relationship with God. But what happened? They sinned. And because of that, they were separated. That relationship was severed, broken. Just as a picture of God sent Adam out of the garden, what did he do? He set up the flaming sword at the entrance so that he could not come back to the tree of life. So if you get that picture, that's a picture of separation and distance. Distance between God and man. And it was blood. Blood was what was needed to satisfy. God was satisfied, if you want to call it that, in a measure. That's what he asked for. Blood was needed for that restoration. But true restoration only came when perfect blood was sacrificed, when Jesus gave his blood. So it was the priest. Because of that distance, man could not come into God's presence, but the priest was the one that could go between. Man could not come into God's presence without God's authorization to do that. And he authorized the priests to do that. Right now I'm blanking on some other men, of course. There was some men that were able or had that connection with God. But it was only with God's authorization. I think of the strange fire that was in the tabernacle. Nadab and Abihu, I believe it was. They were struck dead. That was something that was out of order. So there was a distance between God and man, and the priest was the one that was the go-between. Let's turn to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5. What, it gives a few things here, what the priest, the work of the priest was. Chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. For every priest, every high priest was taken. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are gone out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. There's a few things to notice here in the work of the priest. He was from among men. He was ordained for men in things pertaining to God. He was that link. And that he may offer gifts and sacrifices. That was an interesting thing that I came a little clearer to me as I was preparing this message. There was five different kinds of sacrifices. And here it says gifts and sacrifices. There was five different sacrifices. Two of them were required, and three of them were voluntary. The two that were required had to do with the sin offering and a trespass offering. If a person sinned, all have sinned, right? But everybody needed to bring a sin offering. Trespass offering. If we trespassed, then we needed to bring an offering. The burnt offering was a voluntary offering, which was just a gift to God. The meal offering was also something that was a gift to God. And then the final one was a peace offering. I thought, beautiful. When everything's taken care of, we have followed God's way, we have peace. We give an offering saying, all is well. And those three offerings were sweet savor offerings, something that was given to God, something for him to give him pleasure, if you want to say it that way, sweet savor, something smells good. Burnt offering, meal offering, and a peace offering. But they were all free will. So just something to tuck away and think about. We are a kingdom of priests. Let's turn back to the Old Testament again. Just to lift out a little more of what the priest's work was. Leviticus. Leviticus 24. Keep your finger there. Let's go to Leviticus 1 first. Leviticus 1 and the first 9 verses. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it in it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar, that is, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash with water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, in here you get a little picture of what was involved in the sacrifice and how that the priests, what all they had to do. I'm just looking here in verse 5. It says, He shall kill the bullock before the Lord. I believe that was the individual. Individual laid his head and identified with that sacrifice and slew the animal. And then it says the priests took the blood, sprinkled the blood round about the altar, and they flayed the burnt offering, cut it into its pieces. They put fire upon the altar, lay the wood in order, put the pieces in order on the wood. So there was a bit of work involved. I can't imagine how many sacrifices in a day's time went on, how much bloodshed, and what all was involved. It was amazing. But this is what God wanted for them to be able to be right with Him. Now, we were at Leviticus 24. Let's go to that passage. Just to highlight a few things that the priest did. Leviticus 24, verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil, oil olive beaten for their light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. So what I get from that is this was a fire, this was a light, a lamp to be burning continuous. And it was the priest's. And here it says Aaron was responsible to keep it burning. So another thing to chalk up as what was done as a priest. Took care of the light. Another one I don't have a reference for, but the shewbread was another one. And if I'm thinking right, that was made fresh once a week. So the shewbread was something to be kept up to date. Another interesting one, let's turn back to chapter 10 of Leviticus. Leviticus 10, and let's begin reading at verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put a difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. And here's the verse that I was looking for. And that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. It's one we don't think about very often, but the priests had a responsibility of teaching the people what God's laws and statutes were. Another responsibility was that they were to diagnose whether a person had leprosy or not. I'm not going to turn to that, but there's probably several chapters of this is the way you determine if a person has leprosy. So it was the priest's work to say, yes, you're clean or you're not. Determining whether a person was leprous or not. The high priest was the one to go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And this was a, would you say, a symbol of the presence of God. This is where the high priest went in, and it said that they tied a rope on his foot. I didn't look for a scripture, but I've heard it said that there was a rope tied to his foot just in case God would strike him dead, there'd be a way to get him out, because who would be able to go in? It was the high priest only. So that's how special it was for them to go into the Holy of Holies. This was God's presence. God dwelt in between the cherubims in the Holy of Holies. Let's turn to Hebrews again. We looked at chapter 5. Let's just back up into chapter 4. This is familiar verses, but thinking about the work of the priest and how that he was a go-between, beginning in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is to just think about Christ being our high priest, the one that we can go to, and he understands because he was man. Verse 15, we have not an high priest. Let's take the negatives out. For we have a high priest which can be touched with our feelings and our infirmities. We have a high priest that can be touched. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. When Christ, how was that? When he was on the cross, wasn't the veil rent from top to bottom in the Holy of Holies? So when Christ died, there's something happened. I was pondering a little bit The blood, the price was paid. We have access in a way that the Old Testament people did not, because that access has been opened up. Let's turn to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up in spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, you caught that? We are a holy priesthood. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I'm going to stop reading there. In time past, we were not a people, but now the people of God. God has looked on us. Jesus, I like the picture of Jesus bringing redemption to us and bringing us to God, and says, here is a people. These are a kingdom of priests unto you. We are a royal priesthood, it says here in verse 9. A royal priesthood, not just any kind of priesthood. This was a royal priesthood. Royal, kingly, if you want to use that term. A royal priesthood. Back up to verse 5. We're lively stones, living stones, build up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So, for what reason were we? Yeah, why were the holy priesthood? What was the purpose of the holy priesthood in verse 5? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. Who wants to quote Romans 12, 1? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. We are to present ourselves to God as a sacrifice, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Fits right there, doesn't it? Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In verse 9, you're a chosen generation, royal priesthood, and holy people, holy nation, a peculiar people. Peculiar people, somebody that is purchased, that ye may show forth the praises or the virtues of him who hath called us out of darkness. We're to show forth the virtues of the one that saved us. Proclaim his excellence to others. What are some more of the sacrifices? Psalm 50. Psalm 50, verse 14. Talking about feasts here. Let's back up to verse 8. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts and the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Let's stop reading there. So God is not looking for bulls and goats. He's looking for our thanks. Offering the thanks. Hebrews 13. Offering the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Verse 23 of Psalm 50. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I shew the salvation of God. So there again we have the conditions of walking with God. To him that ordereth his conversation aright, God will shew us salvation. I did quoted Hebrews 13. There's another verse there. I'd like to get that one as well. Hebrews 13, that was verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And verse 16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. To do good and communicate, forget not. To do good and communicate is more than just speaking. Communicating is giving. Giving of our goods to for others. Malachi 1:11. Malachi 1:11, for from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same shall my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. We are to give that sacrifice of praise. In every place incense shall be offered to my name. Philippians, there's an interesting verse in Philippians 4, verse 18. This was not a gift given to God, but it was a gift given to Paul. And I thought it was interesting. Verse 18 of chapter 4, Philippians. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So us giving gifts to others can give forth a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, and God smiles on it, well-pleasing to Him. Turn to John 4. This is also a very familiar passage. I don't know if I've said it as such, but worship is something that happened in the tabernacle, and we are to worship as well. John 4, it was Christ and the woman at the well. Speaking of worship, wrong chapter. No wonder it's not looking right. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. More than one way to look at this passage, but I'd like to say that Jesus is lifting up worshiping from our hearts, our spirit, worshiping in spirit, rather than saying it's got to be in this mountain or that mountain, or it's got to be in the tabernacle or the temple. It's now a heart experience in spirit and in truth. Truth, nothing in pretense, not a put on, but it's real. So we are a kingdom of priests. How can we live out that calling that we have? Kingdom of priests. How can we offer up a sweet smell to God, incense? The prayers of the saints is one of those incenses that goes forth. I think something that happens and should happen a whole lot more is praise flowing forth from our hearts for what God has done for us. That is something that is a sweet smell to Him. What about giving ourselves, like we heard in the devotional this morning? Be ready to serve. One of the things I thought about was us as fathers to be priests in our home. Now we have that, the backdrop of all that happened in the tabernacle. What all can we draw from that and apply it to our homes? Maybe we should have a little bit of interaction here. What are some ways that us as fathers can act to be the priest in our home? Think about the tabernacle and what went on in the tabernacle. How can we make application? Intercessory prayer for our families. That's a good one. Family worship. Make sure that you're teaching the children. I was thinking of the light. There's a light in the tabernacle. Do we have our lights trimmed and burning? We talked about family worship. That could be a type of the bread. Was there fresh bread for our families? Do we have worship springing up? I know that when the temple was built, there was choirs, large choirs. And they went by course. Are we singing? Another one I had to think about was, are we awake for leprosy in our homes, in ourselves and our family? Are we awake for leprosy? Leprosy is a type of sin. Okay, may the Lord bless each one of us as we enter into that kingdom, that says Christ has made us unto God kings and priests, a kingdom of priests. Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you just now. We thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the pictures that you give us in your word of what you would have us to live out in our lives. Thank you for the priests and all that they did and how that this gives a picture to us and what we can live out in our lives. Just go with us, bless each one that is here. Help us to radiate forth the beauty of Jesus Christ and his virtues to others. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.